In this context, let's look at the objectives for this particular chapter. So after going through this chapter, you will be able to understand how to build a good resume, various formats of resume, what are the essential factors for writing the cover letter, and tips for resume writing. So let's start with the introductory look. Your resume is seen as the reflection of you, and it is unique for every individual. So every individual can come up with a unique, a personalized type of resume which they can use for the interview process. It is the most important element in the process of employment. So as I said, even before you are in front of the interviewer, the interviewer already has a copy of your resume. It provides your first look to the prospective employer about who you are. So it is necessary that your resume should be convincing and must be easily read. So whatever you write in your CV, also called as your resume or bio data, is extremely important, and this forms the basis of people calling you for the interview. If they're not impressed with your resume, probably you might not even be called for an interview selection process. It works as a marketing tool which allows you to sell yourself before the prospective employer. So it's extremely important as a tool. Without saying a lot, if you, you know, skillfully and strategically prepare a resume, it can behave as a selling point or a USP for you. It is very important that your resume needs to be clear, relevant, and accurate in terms of job description, and it has to be focused on the industry or the employer. So if you are appearing for a job in the advertising and sales the advertising industry, and if you have written more things about marketing and sales and experiences there, then probably that might not be accurate for the industry you're targeting. So you need to change it to what you've done in advertising. So the resume needs to reflect what job you are seeking, so that the prospective employer is able to read through, is impressed, and would call you for another round of interviews. Now let's take a look at the significance of a resume. We've in fact built plenty of ground to come to this particular juncture. We've understood the importance. Let's quickly have some more points. Let's discuss some more points in this context. A well-written resume makes a significant contribution in you getting a job. In fact, how we've already discussed these particular points in the last few slides. Although there are no hard and fast rules for writing a resume, but the basic purpose of the resume remains the same with any kind of resume. The purpose is to land a job or to get you a job. The primary assessment necessary for evaluating the best candidate for the job is done through a resume. Hence, it is necessary that the resume should be in the most effective manner, so that you could have a first good impression on the potential employer. So it's extremely important that your resume should be written in a manner which is fit enough to be shortlisted. Now let's take a look at what are the principles of a resume. A resume is supposed to convince the employer that you are worthy of an interview. It's necessary that a resume is to be kept as brief as possible without sacrificing any relevant and essential information. It tells the employer about your academic qualifications, qualities, skills, and professional qualifications. So it gives out your entire, you can say, details. It gives out where you've done your schooling, where you've done your college, if you've done a post-graduation as in a master's in business administration, or if you're doing a post, if you've done a diploma postgraduate. So It gives out those details. It gives out what class you've passed under. It gives out the qualities, attributes that you possess. Any extracurricular activities, if you've done those, it you know, sheds light on those, as well as what companies have you been through if you're an experienced person. Well, there are certain amount of principles or basic aspects that you need to ensure or keep in mind before you draft a resume. Drafting a resume in simple terms is creating a resume. So the very first principle is no ugly resume. So it's very important that the resume should look and should be pleasing to the eyes. In this context, the choice of words is extremely important. It's extremely vital that you use the right choice of words. And in this context, it is necessary or mandatory that you do not lie or exaggerate or use words that the interviewer has to look up in a dictionary. So it should be very simple language. It should be very plain and lucid language so that the interviewer should not, you know, feel condescended or looked down upon. The things to highlight here are you need to focus on your strengths and accomplishments. So rather than looking at any weaknesses or any shortfalls, your strengths and accomplishments should be the most important aspect of focus. Now let's take a look at the five steps for building a good resume. The very first step is an analysis which needs to be conducted about the job description or the JD. Now the job description, friends, is built up upon, you know, the requirement that has come up, probably a vacancy that needs to be filled or a new position that is created or needs to be created, you know, by the management of a particular organization. So this is called as the JD or the job description, which is a set of activities which actually are a part of the necessary job position which has opened up. So a quick analysis of this particular job description really helps before you build a resume. We'll describe this as well later on in the next you know, few slides as well. So as you see here, we are going to describe each in greater detail. The next step is list your accomplishments. So you, as stated in the previous slide and as will be described in later slide, you need to keep a focus on your accomplishments. The person who will be hiring you should be impressed by the accomplishments and should feel that you are the right fit for his or her organization. The next step is identifying your areas of skills. So you need to do this in order to put them on your resume and in order to explain them in a you know, in an interview situation. The next step is writing a descriptive phrase. So here you need to write certain descriptive things about yourself and choose a particular CV or a resume format. We are going to look at the various formats that a CV can be written in when we reach this particular point. Let's start with the first particular step towards building a good resume. As we've seen in the diagram in the previous slide, it's called as analyzing of the JD or the job description. In this context, it's quite essential that you thoroughly read the job description provided. Later, you must highlight the keywords which show the preferred and required abilities, the qualifications and skills. So it's extremely important that you use certain action verbs, certain nouns, certain adjectives which actually create the emphasis around, you know, what you are going to say. So it should not be any plain words, but it should be action words which will help highlight these particular keywords. For instance, if the employer is looking for an individual who is attentive, punctual and innovative, you may use similar words for highlighting such qualities and skills. What would happen here is your keywords would actually create the right fit with the job description and the qualities required for the job, and the recruiter or the hiring person would consider you amongst the top resumes for a shortlisted interview call. The next step is the second step, which consists of listing of your accomplishments. In this context, it's advisable that you create an inventory of your skills, accomplishments, and talents. You also need to include your educational qualifications, trainings, projects or assignments, travel or teamwork. It is advisable to focus more on the outcomes than the efforts. If possible, try and quantify your results and do not be too humble here. So in this context, they should actually stand out and impress the interviewer. Remember, a resume is a professional tool, so you need to, you know, convince the person. You need to quantify what you've done in terms of numbers, in terms of results. The next step in the five steps for building a good resume is identifying your areas of skills. Your experiences need to be framed in such a way that they focus on your achievements and skills needed for the given position. Ensure that every accomplishment listed highlights skill which the employer is looking for. For example, if you are an MBA graduate, and if you are prolific with your communication skills, as well as you have a flair for public speaking, and if you have done some good amount of elocution, some amount of debating, dramatics in your school days, in your college days, in certain cultural events of your previous organization, these should be a part of that particular resume. Probably because the new company might require a lot of dynamism in your particular job. So these things can work well when put in a resume. The next phrase is writing a descriptive phrase. In this context, always ensure that the phrases you write are clear and concise. The accomplishments mentioned on the resume needs to ultimately target the need of the employers. So this is extremely important. The sentences and the phrases which you've written, okay, should be very simple. They should not be heavy-handed. The language should be lucid and understood by the recruiter. You need to put efforts for ensuring that the information on the resume is relevant, and the most relevant has to be on the top. So you need to put the information in a very crisp, clear, and in a very relevant manner. The next step is choosing of a format. It is essential to choose the right format while formulating your resume. It may be tempting for you to choose different templates, or maybe even combine two templates. A template basically is a ready-made structure provided in different books provided across the internet on different resume building sites. So all you need to do is fill in your information and the CV or the resume is ready. Okay, however, they tend to be inflexible. Many of them are designed by people who have their own specifications in mind, so they do not suffice your requirements. In fact, many of the resumes seen on the internet are catering to the American people having American formatting, so they will not suffice the Indian conditions. It may even be possible that the employers may be familiar with them, and it may be perceived as you lack ingenuity. So a lack of creativity, a lack of innovation, a lack of ingenuity always, is not a very good thing. It actually is a negative mark against you rather than something which can impress the interviewers. In the same context, it is recommended that you mention your actual qualifications and experience with appropriate justification, which will make your resume unique and interesting. Even if your work experience is good, highlight other accomplishments as well. Take time while drafting your resume, and if possible, have a word with a career counselor to get some advice on resume building. So that's extremely important that you have advice from a career counselor. Nowadays, sites like Naukri.com, Monster.com, Shine.com, Indeed.com, such sites also have wonderful services in which they can provide you with blogs, they can provide you with consulting with a lot of expert resume builders in order to help you with your resume building process. Now, in this particular aspect, let's look at what to include and what not to include in terms of the content that we put into the resume. Content is nothing but the kind of things like qualifications, your personal information, information regarding the jobs that you've done, extracurriculars, all that is nothing but the content. So information that should be included is the first head that we are going to discuss, which includes identifying of information. This includes your name, the present and permanent addresses or address, the phone numbers such as your landline as well as your cell phone, and the email address. You also may want to include your citizenship status. The next being the summary of qualifications and keywords. A summary of qualifications is a short list of your key strengths and experiences. It communicates what you would offer to the organization where you're being interviewed. The next is the education. List your institution's name or names where and degrees in a reverse chronological order, and include the month and year you expect to or receive your degree. So reverse chronological is going from the most recent to the oldest, which probably might be a degree you've achieved in your SSC or your ICSC, which is your school degree. Include all the certifications along with the school, college and postgraduate education. Include special programs of study such as studying abroad or off-campus study experiences or any certification courses which you've done apart from the conventional academics. Include honors and awards. So if you've had a scholarship when you were in school or in college, or if you were in a a rank holder, or if you received any award for academics or co-curriculars, please do not forget to mention such. Experience, employment and work history is the other important piece of information that needs to be a part of your resume. Include your full-time and part-time work experience in this context. In this, you need to use the heading work experience or employment for paid positions. Non-paid experiences can also be included here. Use the experience heading if you list both paid and unpaid positions in the same section. Unpaid positions probably are those wherein you were an intern for a college project, where you had visited a particular company and were there for some a duration of some months, and they did not pay you, but they arranged for a certification of an intern and they provided you with a work certificate. So that's an unpaid position. Or you worked with your father, or you worked with some relative for experience and they've not actually created a salary slip for it. So that's an unpaid position. Again, a part of this, both paid and non-paid experiences should be described and formatted in the same way. It is important to note that not all experiences are relevant for each position. Let us say you've had experience in selling Indian Express campaign when you were in your graduation days, Then, for a short period of 3 months, you sold Indian Express newspaper, went door to door on a sales campaign to understand the process of sales and marketing. But you've applied for a finance job now. So, probably that experience will hold no relevance in this particular area of expertise. So, maybe that can be removed from your resume. So, resume must be targeted to the employer's needs. This section is one that will require the most work on your part. Be sure to carefully reflect on your positions and accurately describe them. So, if the description is vague, if the description is not understood by the recruiter, if they don't understand the importance and relevance in that context, then it becomes extremely difficult. Let's move on. Now, certain questions that you know can be used in an introspective manner or in a reflective manner on your past experiences are as follows. What were your job responsibilities? Did you supervise or train others? Did you work with people? How? Can you quantify the results of your work? Were you able to meet deadlines and handle pressure? Did you assume a leadership role? What were your major accomplishments? So, this speaks about a previous job experience, and you need to reflect and answer some of these questions so that you can easily write information about that job experience in your resume. Now, apart from the professional experiences and the educational qualification, let's look at the co-curriculars or extracurricular activities. Co-curriculars, as we know, okay, as a very brief definition, is the activities which are apart from your professional or educational activities. Probably a participation in dramatics while you were in school or college, a debate competition, probably you participated in some sports activities. These kind of things are called as co-curriculars. So your involvement in organizations can demonstrate a breadth of background that is attractive to many employers. Be selective about the activities you enlist. Include those that highlight a desirable skill, interest, or leadership trait. You do not need to include all of them. Let us say you led an expedition, okay, in the Himalayas while you were after you had graduated, and there you were instrumental in a leadership exercise on trekking, on kayaking, on canoeing, wherein you got to learn a lot through those exercises about teamwork and leadership. Probably they can be a part of your resume, because your next job might be managing 15 people in a team, wherein there should be a team dynamics existing, a team bonding existing, an element of management and leadership which needs to exist. So in this context, this co-curricular activity will resonate well with the requirements of the present job, and of course those will be noticed by the person who's going to recruit or hire you. The next part of the content for the resume is the optional categories. The first includes the languages. So include your level of proficiency, but do not stretch or exaggerate it. What we mean by stress or exaggerate is, if you are just bleakly aware of Japanese, you've on a Discovery Channel, you've seen something related to Japanese, you've read it on Wikipedia, don't mention that you know the language. Okay, that does not mean that you know the language, because if the recruiter or any person in a panel has a good idea of Japanese and they speak to you in Japanese or French or any other language for that matter, which you have mentioned and you do not know, then probably this might be a disqualification. So if you are really proficient, mention it. Otherwise, do not stretch it. Just say basic knowledge or brief knowledge. Some employers will test your professed language skills in an interview. The next part is the computer skills. You can list applications, operating systems, or give a generic description of your knowledge in this particular field. How specific you are depends largely on your goals and the level of expertise an employer is seeking. The next aspect about the optional categories is the interests. In this context, listing your personal interests can help spark conversation with an interviewer and allow him or her to get to know you in a better way. List interests that distinguish you, catch the eye of the recruiter, or demonstrate a trait you know that the employer will value. Generic interests such as reading or running are best to be left off. The next optional category is volunteering and service. Depending on your level of involvement, you may include a volunteer or community service section. List volunteer job title, the organization name, the city, state and dates. For example, if you were a part of CRY, okay, which is an NGO, or some other NGO, so list the name of the NGO, the city from which you operated. Let us say, for example, if you've done it from Navi Mumbai, a center, an NGO from Navi Mumbai, so you can list that, the state being Maharashtra, and you need to put the relevant dates from when to when were you a volunteer or a part of the NGO. The next is the professional certifications or the affiliations. These are best listed if they have significance to the reader and are related to your intended field, such as Society of Women Engineers or Chapter of Architects or Chapter of Accountants and so on. Now let us take a look at the information that should not be included. Okay, in many countries, personal information is considered, some aspects of course are considered as illegal. So such aspects such as marital status, height, ethnicity or health in employment decisions is best to be left out. Do not include this information in your resume. Nowadays it's a debatable topic though, but many companies and many recruiters recommend the career objective to be left out. So objectives are no longer standard on business resumes. Okay, some of you who might not feel comfortable with this idea can keep them there, but it's slowly and steadily becoming a global norm to leave these out. One reason is that an objective is geared towards what you want from an employer, not what you can offer. So if you're writing an objective as to what you can provide or how best you can serve this new employer, probably you can keep it on. A general objective can also portray you as unfocused or inexperienced. So there are many facets of the objective which probably might let you down in terms of a job interview. You can better tailor your objective to reach employer in a cover letter. So we'll come to this particular document. This is a separate document from the resume. It's called as a cover letter, wherein you can appropriately place your objective. If you do not choose to include an objective, make sure it strengthens your case. So elements of the objective can be highlighted through the different action verbs, through the different keywords in various places of the resume. Information pertaining to your high school should be left out. Only of course the percentage achieved in SSC or HSC probably can be included, but the rest of the information needs to be left out. So employers want to see your recent history and college experiences, so any experiences relating to more of high school should be ideally left out. You may list high school achievements if they demonstrate skills that are not represented by your college background. So if you've been a school captain, or if you've been a captain of a particular project in school and you've done nothing on those lines in a college, then probably you can enlist those, but consider including them in an honors section. The next thing is references. A list of references is no longer standard on business resumes. So again, like the objective, it is fading away. Provide a list of references to select employers on a separate sheet. So if they request you, today There are many employers, many organizations who request you for references. In that case, you can put them on a separate sheet of paper. You should ask individuals to serve as references before you apply for jobs. So the people whom you go ahead and mention as your references should be aware that they would be called or they would be mailed by people asking about you. A minimum of 3 references is recommended, and it's a good practice to give your references a copy of your resume so they are well aware of, what you've done. They are aware of you as a person. Now let's take a look at the process of composition and editing. So basic purpose of a resume is to convince the employer that you are a good prospect. It is to convey a certain action. So in your descriptive statements, use past tense action verbs to give statements a punch rather than a passive voice. So let's look at what is a bad way of doing it and what is a recommended way. So here, if you notice, we've got a poor way of describing a particular work that you've done. That is, was responsible for redesigning a fundraising plan to benefit cancer research. Now, this again can be put in a better way. How? The same quotes are written in a different manner. Redesigned fundraising plan to benefit cancer research. So demonstrate, the next point is demonstrate and quantify results. Highlight accomplishments, not tasks. Use numbers to quantify your experiences whenever possible. So what is okay or what is average? Redesigned fundraising plan to benefit cancer research. So this is what was better last time, but is average in this context. What's better here is developed innovative fundraising campaign that resulted in 32% increase in donations to cancer research. So what's changed here is you've used an innovative, or developed an innovative approach rather than a redesign. Redesign seems vague, but developing an innovative approach seems more specific and more, you can say, powerful. You also are quantifying it by saying there was a 32% increase in donations. So it's not being left up to the guessing of the recruiter as to what was the result. You've quantified it and put it in here. The next part of composition and editing is the application of the so what test. Is your statement a compelling description of the difference you made or what you learned? So compelling is it convincing? Is it a forcing thing? Does your description answer the question, so what happened as a result? So in this context, a poor statement looks like helped raised funds for cancer research. A better one, played a key role in establishing innovative fundraising events, resulting in consistently exceeding philanthropic goals. Philanthropy is nothing but the social goals or where you've helped people or society as a whole. The next part of the composition and editing is write for the reader, demonstrate skills. Many of the business writing or documents like a resume, a letter, a memo, these things need to be written for the reader, not for you. So they should demonstrate skills, they should be convincing and compelling. In this context, it's important to view your work experience from the recruiter's perspective. A key question here is what transferable skills are key in the job you are seeking. Identify those skills such as analytical, communication, or leadership skills, and then cite examples demonstrating that you possess them. Each statement in your description should relate to a known skill requirement for the job that you want. It's important to write for the reader and demonstrate skills. That's what we've looked at in the previous slide. Here are a few relevant examples in the same context. You can highlight analytical skills. So if you are good at analysis, if you are good at problem solving, if you are good at number crunching, you can definitely put that here. If you have some budgeting experience, for example, if you have developed some budget for your team previously, if you are a part of the team which developed certain financial ratios and budgets, you can put them here. Supervisory skills. So if you've been a leader, a team leader in a previous organization, a manager, or if you've been, a group captain in your college or school days, you can definitely put them there. Of course, you also need to quantify it. How many people were involved? How many people did you mentor? What were the things you did? And so on. Project leadership skills. So if you were put onto a particular project where you were one of the leaders, what changes did you make? Okay, what was the result there? How many man days were saved because of your efforts and so on? And of course, communication skills, where you can show the proficiency of the spoken language, that is business English, as well as a working knowledge, if you have, of any other foreign language. In the context of writing for the reader and demonstrating skills, it's also important and vital to choose the job titles in a thoughtful manner. So hierarchical titles such as intern do not convey as much information as functional titles. So probably you can say that I was working, to gain experience in so and so industry rather than just an intern. If you want to use a functional title that is different than your official title, it's a good idea to clear this through your formal supervisor before including it. So a poor title would be a summer intern. A better one would be a public relations intern. So a summer intern is very vague. It does not actually tell us what were you doing there. Again, a poor title is a summer associate. Better one is summer associate at the global portfolio management company, or you were managing the global portfolio in a company.